This is your boy MZ.
This is your boy Vumi.
And this is the Match Chats Podcast.
Fuck you, actually.
Oh, dude, straight out the gate,
you
swearing at me.
How are you gonna open the show like
that? Nah, don't worry.
Showing me things like that.
Nah, don't worry. Don't worry about it.
You're a fiend.
I'll recap. I'll let you know how it goes.
Mm.
Well, I'm excited, though.
I can see that. It's clear.
Anyway,
number one fan now.
No. Look, I'm just a fan. Anyway,
can you stop clicking your cup thing? People listening.
I apologize. They didn't hear it actually until you just said something. They probably didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot's happened, man, in the last week or so.
It's a lot, man.
And it's actually quite draining. But nonetheless, it's something that's popping, man. Up in the airwaves. But I think, straight out the gate, should we get on to the flamey tops?
Yeah, let's get on to the flamey topics, which was formerly known as hot topics, which we've changed to flamey topics.
Yeah, we did that right now. Just a wave of a wand,
like flame grilled, like your steers,
just
like
yeah,
flamey,
and with that Mando sauce as well.
Yeah, let's get on to
that Mando sauce.
Let's get on to the flamey topics.
So, actually, it's fitting that you are here.
I can already see what's coming.
Seeing as
I can see what's coming,
you are of Greek heritage as well.
Okay,
50%. Let's not do that. So there's a guy called Adam.
Adam.
Come
on, you know how to say it, man. It's been said enough.
No, hold on. Let me get it right. Castevelos.
No, man.
How?
You actually know how to say it.
Castevelos.
No.
Now you fucking with me.
No, I'm so serious right now.
It's Castevelos.
No, it's not Castevelos.
Castevelos?
No, right. Okay, so there's two ways people are saying it.
Castevelos.
No, it's Castevelos, dog.
Ah, hola, Vumi.
It's Adam Castevelos.
Castevelos.
That's the South African way of saying
Castevelos.
It. No, wait, that's the South African way of saying it.
Castevelos.
The Greek way of saying it is Castevelos.
Castevelos.
Which is actually
there's no
fucking Spanish.
Oh, like, but the Greeks have a lot of lisp.
We have no lisp. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've heard you many times.
I don't have a lisp, but actually
when you're talking Greek, dog.
Oh, you talk nonsense. You've come in a mood for nonsense today.
Adam Castevelos.
That's not how
Castevelos.
Anyway, this disgrace of a person.
Handsome, this guy. But yeah, anyway, this guy was
stop clicking your cup.
My bad, dog. Anyway, this guy was on social media. He got onto social media by way of sending a video to a group of friends, or you know.
Yeah.
And then allegedly it wasn't anyone in that WhatsApp group that sent it, but they or posted it, but they probably sent it to someone else who was like, "Hey," then they were like, nah. And they put him on blast.
This guy. Yeah.
So basically, this guy used the K word while on a holiday in Greece. And the thing is, I don't know how much of a racist you have to be. You know, when people are on holiday, right? They're meant to be in the happy place, in the. They're just relaxing in Greece. No hell, dog. I don't like the weather was looking nice in the beach, and then he was like he just had to insert that. Do you know how much of a racist you have to be in actually to bring that all the way from South Africa, and you're gonna bring all of that to you where you are, like, there. Like, what kind of a human must you be, in fact?
A sick one.
Man, that guy's rubbish. Sick one.
Look, the thing is, it was also, I was dumbfounded as to why, if you hate a particular type of person so much, as to why, one, you'd be thinking about them during your off time,
fam,
right? And two, fine, maybe you have a sick obsession with them, right? But why do you feel that you need to record it? And then send it to someone. And I know everyone's been talking
and
about
that's,
like...
Yeah, that's
an audience and...
But that goes into it though.
Yeah, but like... I mean, look, he definitely has an audience. If we're having another one, a 26-year-old teacher screaming at a child.
Bruh, here's the thing.
The K word. Like, I mean, is there no limit?
Here's the thing. Are you talking about Danielle DeBrain?
There we go.
Yeah, damn Danielle DeBrain.
Yes, it's 26. She's my age.
Yeah, you see, and yeah, that's what
it's not like. You can say like maybe they're 35, 40, you know, they were in SANDF, like, you know, like they were like adults in the time of
deep apartheid. A young motherfucking teacher.
Yeah, this teacher was 3, 4, 2 when apartheid, when actually was not born when formal apartheid ended in 1990 with the release of Nelson, and she was only 4 or 2 when democracy came into effect.
But you see that whole thing, it shocks me for a second, and I'm like, actually, it shouldn't shock me, because obviously they learn their stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, it doesn't really shock me anymore, because now you have school kids who are in school right now, who are chatting that chat anyway. But the really disheartening thing here is that this is someone who is an educator, right?
Yeah.
And there's certain, you know how we hold people to certain standards. People who hold certain positions in society are held, they're held to standards that are higher than everyone else.
Yeah, definitely.
Like somehow, same thing that the Americans don't. They say, yeah, you know, locker room talk from Trump or whatever. But yeah, you're not just Trump, fam. You're the president of the United States. You know what I'm saying? We hold you to a higher standard.
Exactly.
And same with a teacher. And these are the people that we are entrusted with our children, and they shape our children. They have a huge impact in our children.
No, definitely.
And the fact that this woman has obviously the free rein to just spew her views onto, you know, minds that are still absolutely, you know? And it's just so frustrating, dog.
But also, as you know, you ply your trade as an educator, and you're teaching these kids on how to handle and deal with their emotions. And how are you losing your cool like that and then calling them the K word? Like, how are you qualified as an educator if you're doing that? And these apparently were young kids, dog. Like, you can't say like maybe they were teenagers and drove it to the edge, which still wouldn't be an excuse.
Oh, they weren't?
No, were they? I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. I don't know. I thought they were in high school.
Oh, were they in high school? Yeah, oh, then maybe I'm wrong. But still, that doesn't change shit.
And I just don't understand. I mean, it just reminds me of a time where my sister told me a story when she was in high school. So, like, I was in junior school and she was in high school, in the same school, right?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
it was
like
Anyway, and she told me about how in one of her classes, it could have been a friend of hers. Anyway, in one of the classes, like the teachers, okay, a white teacher, I don't know what happened, but she didn't say anything racist, right? But a pupil who was black was like really annoyed. She felt prejudiced or whatever, somehow, you know, that she was singling her out or something. And then she was like, no, ma'am, you're being racist, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that, like, absolutely broke the teacher. Like, because you know the worst thing you can say to a white person is call them racist.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then that's the worst.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like this. Well, nothing. It seems like it isn't. These
like,
days.
So she called her race, and this teacher, yo, she broke down. Like, you know when you're like a child and you're getting hit,
like,
you
just
have, in the snot.
Then they tell you to stop crying. You're like.
She was taking it so seriously, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
And then to move from that, so in other words, like that teacher, and this was probably like in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. And moving from that, and this was a teacher who was probably in her 40s at the time.
Yeah.
Moving from that to now, 2018, where you have a 26-year-old teacher who is like a total flip. She cares not about how she makes other people feel. Her views are being said, no matter how racist they are.
Mm.
Like, it's really, it perplexes me, to be honest.
It is very perplexing. To be a racist is very perplexing.
And I just don't understand. Like, Vumi, how do, like, if you, it's like men out here talking about how bad life is for men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And we're just shitting on women. all the time. Do you know what I mean?
We can spend the rest of our lives trying to unpack what happened, but it's shocking behavior from Katsavelos and from De Bruyne. Is their name really De Bruyne?
De Bruyne or something?
Oh, De Bruyne. Sorry. yeah. Apologies to De Bruyne. I don't think. I hope he's not racist.
Something like that. Yeah.
But anyway,
this whole Adam thing, right?
Yes.
It unfolded so quickly.
Yo.
Black Twitter is shook. On another level. I don't know how Black Twitter is not.
There's some people who should be waiting. Yeah. They should be working for the NPA.
They should be working for
the Guptas. The would be behind bars right now.
My man.
Guy.
Investigate.
Jay-Z would be behind bars. Everyone. Teflon Don. Everyone would be behind
it's
bars.
It's amazing how you know something can actually drive people to work hard to find something.
Exactly.
And how easy it is. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If people are willing to give that information for the right cause, they're going to give it.
But how did they find that? Do you have any idea how they found that shit out?
It's actually not that hard, dog. How? People who work in the right places can tell you. It's really. You
know. But first of all, he was wearing shades and a hat, which he probably put on as a disguise, the idiot. But how do you, like that video, you just see that video, how do you, apparently someone recognized the person then threw a name.
Yeah, I'm sure, because you know he was part of the Nedbank business owner.
Yeah, but it wasn't clear.
Yeah, it wasn't clear, but I don't know, that picture looked just like him.
Because apparently the way it snowballed was that someone saw it. He's like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, because they were in the Nedbank thing with them. They were also another person in there. Yeah.
So
they were like,
so maybe even the
voice. You know, I was with this guy as a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and then people looked into it.
ID number, address, everything.
Address, ownership, details, where they... Oh, that was too much. It was... Vumi, within a couple of days, not even, in fact.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo.
That's the power of Google, dog. Keywords. You just put in his name, it trolls the whole internet for those keywords. Damn.
Yeah, but like things like ID numbers, you don't just get off Google, fam. But like, so like, you can get them off, like, obviously, if you do a deed search, WinDeed and stuff.
Yeah.
You can find, you know, people's.
And obviously, there's
things.
People who have subscriptions to these services. Yeah, and, like, you can pay $100 and verify an ID.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah,
it's just like. It's not. It's nothing.
But I was just, and then people found out, like he's a director of this and this company, and then they were just like, nah. And
then they just linked his company to other companies.
It was the quickest escalation I have ever seen, because you haven't seen the same escalation, but maybe it's because we haven't seen someone to his like ownership and being.
I mean, look, he's a small business owner. Like other things, it was H&M, Spur.
No, but like I'm talking about individuals now.
Oh, yeah,
so in other words, like Vicky Momberg, no one knows what she does. Yeah, I don't even know what she does.
Sparrow,
state agent. Like the state agency, like released her real quick. Anyway,
they have no tie.
These people work alone anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm. So, but with him, like he's got a lot of ties in the company.
Yeah,
a family company, so to speak.
The family disown, like,
and then now all the people who are connected to all the other companies connected to him are just saying, yeah, we ain't got it.
Yo, and the family released him very quickly, but a lot of people weren't convinced by that.
Oh yeah, so Nick Castavella,
say the name right,
Castavella.
No.
Well, anyway,
Katsavelo. Even say it in the SA way, I don't care.
Nah, dog. Nick Katsavelo.
Oh my god.
Went on to
the brother
702.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's the older brother by like 7 years or something.
Yeah.
And went to chat to Eusebius.
Yo, he looked defeated, bruh.
Yeah, I didn't watch that link actually. I didn't watch the video. I just listened to the podcast. Yeah.
Yo.
And he sounded like distraught.
He was done.
But yeah, man, and I mean, I don't know what your thoughts were, but that whole time I was just like, actually, I understand what Eusebius is trying to do by chatting to this guy.
Yeah.
Because you understand family dynamics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, I actually don't want to hear from this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it going to help? But I understood that it's a necessary conversation that needs to be had, but I just didn't want to hear it.
Why?
Because I don't care about right at that moment, like it was still hot in the streets. I didn't care about what Nick has to say. I cared about what Adam has to say.
No, but then I think,
you know what I'm saying?
But
I wanted to hear what his point of view was.
I think it was actually brilliant, some brilliant journalism on the part of Eusebius, because a lot of people are asking the question. It's like, like who, like what kind of background does this person come from? You know, we always wonder. Like I was even asking myself, like, so does, because everyone was automatically saying, oh yeah, this is how he chats at the dinner table. So I think it was amazing. It was great that Eusebius sort of asked him the hard questions, and then Nick came through to sort of give his perspective and the family's perspective. Now I don't know how much I don't know how much he sugarcoated it, but to me he seemed pretty genuine, and he seemed pretty distraught. And the thing is that, like, people are complex individuals,
yeah,
right? So even if you're one way with the family, you can go and do something that's absolutely, like, absolutely shocking.
Oh no, absolutely.
And then everyone will be like, "God damn!" So like it's an interesting. He started an interesting conversation about how the family dynamics, and generally how you don't really know someone until they do something that,
and also that family dynamics contribute to who you are to a certain point, like what you guys do as a family when you're growing up, yeah, or even like that contributes to your life, absolutely, but at some point you also, other things contribute to your life personally that your family doesn't.
Mm.
So in other words, you can't attribute everything that a person does to that family. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, yeah, like literally, Adam Kathvelos could have been with his family and not even uttered those words at all, you know?
Yeah.
But then with the confines of, with his friends and his buddies who think alike or whatever, yeah, like him, then he could have just, yeah, wowed out, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's a possibility.
See, and then there was a brilliant piece of context, because then, like, his brother talks about how Nick had been attacked. Nicholas, I'm not going to say his nickname, like my boy.
Not Nicholas.
No, sorry, Adam. Adam had been attacked in the Drachensberg, or they had been robbed or mugged or whatever. And then he called his brother in rage and was using that word.
Yeah.
And then there was a beautiful moment there where the brother realized, where he was like, actually, I could have checked him there, should have checked him there, but I didn't check him there.
Yeah, but I understood what he said about, it would do nothing to check him at that moment, because I understand. Adam wouldn't hear anything of what you're saying at that moment if he was in a bit of rage.
Like, it was
subsequent to that. Maybe, yeah, I'd be like, look, man, yeah, the way you went about that or whatever, like, I understand something's, yeah, wrong, but you know, you didn't need.
But
to
it was interesting to see that he realized that actually,
he was complicit in this.
Yeah, like white people who are allies or whatever you want to call them. Like, you need to realize that at some point, like, you, if something is said, even in rage, you actually be like, whoa, that's not a way to deconstruct what's happened to you. Like, yeah, complain about crime, complain about whatever.
Yeah.
But the color of that person's skin, yes, it had something to do with it for historical reasons, but yeah, not because it's not because crime and but a
even,
black
even,
skin
even
is
then it might not even have not. Had even then it might not have even had any historical, like, this guy could have just been a fiend who was,
yeah,
a fiend,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So that's not a way to deconstruct trauma. You don't associate blame based on the color of someone's skin. Base it on their circumstance, base it on their mental state.
But yeah, like, and what I actually enjoyed, for me to be quite honest, was, I mean, thinking back at this now, what Eusebius, is that how you say his name, right?
Eusebius. Yeah, Eusebius. Well, Eusebius in Greek. It's a Greek name, but yeah, we.
I always want
to
say
a Greek theme to the.
Okay, okay. I always want to say Eusebius, right? In any case, so he was bringing up a good point about how, in his family, you know, there was sparks of racism from his mother and such, you know.
Yeah,
and he mentioned that in the sense that, as a person of color, I'm obviously paraphrasing.
Yeah.
You don't think of it as that big of a deal when it's coming from someone from a person of color, because it's always, you know, reds who are the most racist or whatever. Like, coming from them, it would be a lot more.
Yeah.
But you actually don't realize that even within your own family, as a person of color, there's a lot of racism that is just natural, and you don't realize that it is racism.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, once you become quote unquote woke later in life, you're like, oh shit, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Tulas was actually very racist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and that's something that a lot of people obviously don't see.
They don't
within themselves and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, let's not get away from it. Like, fuck Adam very much.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that guy. You know what? In fact, I mean, I'm sorry to do this to you, Vumi, but I feel like he can just stay in Greece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look, I mean it. Look, it also goes to, just to bring it back to, you know, how we're talking about context and the family and whatever.
Yeah.
It also goes back, and it pains me to say this, but yeah, I might be disowned for this. But like the Greek society, the Greek community in South Africa is incredibly racist.
Yeah, talk that talk, bro.
And the thing is that it's from a history. It's from a history of wanting to assimilate and to become part of the dominant culture. Obviously, when they immigrated here, they had to prove themselves and all that.
But that's
never an excuse. But they have pretty much assimilated and have taken on very racist attitudes that, to a certain extent, might exist in Greece, but never from a position of superiority, as in, like, because I mean, Greece never really colonized anyone. So if the Greeks in Greece were racist, they are just following the trend, just like, for example, right-wing politicians follow the populist trend. You know what I'm saying? So it's a thing. It's like you follow what's popular at the time, and obviously if you're marginalized, you're going to try and use these silly excuses like race and immigration to try and get your point across. But that's not really the problem.
Yeah,
the problem is the system, is capitalism and all that stuff. So, but it does trouble me, and it's one of the reasons why I don't actively participate and engage with the Greek community, other than highs and buys and yeah, because I don't think there's enough work done to actually process these notions of superiority that they have. And also it's also a thing of the Greek community sites that I follow, the National Hellenic Students Youth Association. Nothing. Not one statement disowning this guy. Not one statement criticizing this guy. Most of my Greek friends on Facebook, not one statement against this guy. I mean, I don't think I made a statement on Facebook against him. But
do you think it's the? I mean, I know he has a Greek surname.
Yeah,
but do you think it's their, it is their place in England?
I wouldn't say I don't know.
I mean, obviously you have a different perspective, but like, I don't know if I was checking for that. I don't think I was checking
I'm not saying
for
that
Greeks to sort of like disown that type of thing, as if, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, because
dude is fully South African.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, he's fully South African, but like most South African Greeks, he's fully South African. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that, like, because it's a community that's tight-knit and that is, it has a dominant place in South African society.
Did you hear what he said, Nick? Didn't he say that they are like the only Greek family or something that aren't even tied to Greeks in South Africa?
It's one of those things, and it's troubling because I've witnessed someone be incredibly racist to an employee at Steers in Knaalwijk.
Yeah, so.
And that's where I took a conscious decision to actually be like, I'm done with y'all. And it's not even in South Africa only. Even in the Greek and Cypriot community in Zim was incredibly racist as well. And so it's all about assimilating the dominant culture because you're trying to fit in. Because they're about the hustle when they got you. So they would like sleep with anyone. I mean, fuck, even Greek businessmen in Greece, they were busy trading with Rhodesia. So it's like Greeks are not angels by any means. Like, I didn't consider them to be angels. But I just think it would have been... considering that it holds a certain position in society, because the Greeks in South Africa are very successful people. Like, they're business leaders, they've got shops and supermarkets. The grocery stores, like half the spas are owned by Greeks.
Like, so most like foreigners though.
I think it would have been, I mean, look, and probably because no one linked being Greek to what Adam was saying.
Yeah, none at all. Like, yeah. I won't lie to you, like, that wasn't the first thing. Yeah, when I saw it, his surname was Castavelos.
As a Greek of color, I don't think anyone's ever said those words.
I don't think so.
I think I would have wanted to hear from the community, from community leaders, but the argument can be made that that Adam Katsavelos is not the Greek community, and the Greek community is not Adam Katsavelos. So I understand that.
Mm. But I hear your point.
Yeah, but like just a young, no, it's not cool, it's not what we stand for, whatever. Yeah.
No, I hear your point. But this, yeah, it also just brings me back to, I think people still don't fully understand social media. And implications of it. Like, I know he didn't put it up on social media.
Yeah.
But he put it on a platform that could eventually lead to social media. Like, people really need to be careful of the stuff that they put on groups, fam. Mm. Like, I feel like if there's more than four people in the group, just know that
it's risky.
You can't put anything in there. Like, if you feel like no matter how much you trust that group, dog, you can't put something in there that can accidentally get away.
Yeah, you can't.
You know how many times people mistakenly send things that they're not supposed to send?
Yeah.
It really does happen.
It does. Wasn't there some porn thing that happened? Someone sent his wife's porn pictures on a group by mistake. There was something floating around where someone sent some, like...
And the thing is, people are going to be like, ooh, got some shit. And they just send it out and... Yeah. And WhatsApp doesn't tell you if you screenshot or anything. Ooh. So, like...
Screenshot is the most deadly weapon.
That delete button is only helpful for the first 7 minutes. Otherwise,
I don't know why. It can't be forever, man. They just do that thing forever.
Like, yeah. So, and I think just people just don't understand how the ramifications of when your shit gets on social media. Like, it can go so badly for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, think about this. Adam didn't just affect his own life, dog.
He affected like
his whole, like most of his family.
Done rap.
Like but his did, kids, like yeah. his kids are probably, I don't know, they're probably gonna be ostracized in school for having a racist motherfucking dad. If they had black friends, I won't lie, it's gonna be so tough, dog. Because obviously, you know, it's not the kids, but like this is your dad, fam.
Yeah, look, man, look, we've got a lot of shit to get through, so I think let's leave these racists in the past.
Dog. But yeah, man, speaking of foreign nationals, dog, another thing that's been popping, the media's been calling it the Soweto lootings.
Yes, lit there.
Now, okay, so initially when I saw it on the news, right, mm-hmm. I saw it on my Twitter feed. I was like, yes, Soweto looting. There must have been a protest.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
people
yeah.
were, you know, just like looting stuff from shops. Yeah. And then, like, I listened more, like, to radio and, you know, the chats. I haven't read a full article about it. But yeah. To my understanding, it's because it started with the fact that there are foreign nationals mm-hmm. Who, as we all know, they have these
spaza shops. Yeah.
Especially in the hoods and stuff. Mm. They thrive there. Also in town and everything like that. Yeah. But, like, in the hood, they thrive there.
Mm.
But now the issue was apparently that they've been selling counterfeit goods.
Yeah, there's been a story that's been going around, man. And I think government's actually getting on it at the moment. But you know, it's...
But let me say this. Yeah. Okay, so... And I saw another video of some people, like some... Not mob justice, so to speak. You can call it mob justice. Obviously, a bunch of people just like, you know, confronted this shop owner. They took him out of the shop and they... You know, they took all the stuff out of the goods out of stuff, and they were like obviously recording this the whole time, and they were showing like the fake differences and the differences, and they were pouring it all out and throwing all the chips and everything. All these like some stuff were expired, some stuff was just counterfeit, and then they were just like making him burn it up as well, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this is a very, very complex thing.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, right, these guys. Obviously they're there to make a living as well, and they're coming maybe escaping persecution in their own countries mm-hmm. and they're coming here to, you know, to do something. And then on the other hand, they're giving counterfeit goods which damage the community that they were in, right?
But you know,
health wise and everything.
Yeah, the thing is, man, I'm not like
another thing is that the other problem, which is why it's a problem, is because they become the only option, because the other option is too expensive, right? So they become the only option. And the fact that they are the only option, and on top of that, it turns out that some of them have counterfeit goods that are pretty much poisonous stuff for the community. And like, it's a very huge issue in terms of like, people don't have anywhere to go and they go to them. And now if they go to them and they still have foods that aren't nutritious in any way, shape or form, they're poisonous or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem for the community. And then that enrages the community, and then they go and attack those people, right? And then it also makes it look as though it's xenophobic attacks.
But you see, that's the point I want to bring in. I think this is a sneaky form of xenophobia.
Okay,
because the thing is, like, I mean, I've seen some of these videos alleging the fake products, and like, I'm not, like, obviously there's some expired products and all that stuff. Like, I don't dispute that, but like, it's very suspicious, because the thing is, these mob justice things, like, they very often have very nefarious roots. So for me, the way this is playing out, right, the violent manner in which it's playing out, to me feels like sneaky xenophobia. And the thing is, we always have xenophobia in the lead up to elections.
Yeah, and I do feel it's absolute, xenophobia is absolutely a part of it as well.
Yeah, that's why why it's good that the government is like the government is taking initiative to actually investigate if these products are indeed fake or expired or whatever. But
if they find that that stuff is counterfeit, or if it's not, it doesn't solve the problem that people have issues in the townships with.
Yeah.
These foreign nationals who own these puzzle shops and can afford to make things cheaper than the other people, you know?
Yeah.
The other puzzle shops. And the way that they do that is because they have a sense of community, right? Mm,
they pull their resources
together, and thereby buying in bulk, which is cheaper, which is a lot cheaper, and then they can sell at a cheaper price. So, but the thing is, as government, that's the challenge that you have to, especially, I mean, in the capitalist system, right?
Mm.
Where, you know, money talks, demand, supply.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, what do you do to that one spaza shop, that one lady that runs a spaza shop, and she runs it alone because other people can't run it with her, right? There's no sense of community in the business sense.
Mm.
So she has to buy at market price,
yeah,
right? She can't buy below that or even at cost price. Yeah. She has to buy it at market price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's not even buying from a supplier or something. She's buying it from the shops and then bringing it here.
Yeah.
And she needs to make a profit.
Mm.
So like, how do you solve those issues? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Whereas all the other foreign nationals have a much cheaper price because they can do that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is the biggest challenge. Like, how, I mean, I've never really thought about it, of how you would fix something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, this is not the first time it's happened. I mean, we were talking about, like, the Greeks. Like, essentially, that's what the Greeks did when they came in. Yeah. They, like, even in the Greeks, the Italians, the Portuguese, when they went to Australia,
and the thing is, we know why they do, because that makes sense.
Indians have done it. Like, it's a thing where it's just, they see a gap in the market, or they pull their resources together.
That's what, I don't even think it's about a gap in the market. I think it's just about coming together and be like, guys, we all share the same culture or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we are in a sea of people we don't share culture with. So let's pull our resources together and look after our own.
Because I was talking to a Somali Uber driver the other day, and we were discussing this, because I was like, my man, like, I gave him my theory about, like, why they're successful and stuff. And I was like, is it because you guys come together, he's like, yeah, no, we bring capital, like, from Somalia, you know, we've brought all our lives, all our belongings, and because we know most of the people who come down here, we can borrow from each other. And he was telling me that the reason why a lot of, like, so people in the townships won't do it is because, first of all, they don't have access to credit that won't cripple them. So he was saying that, like, the Somalis, they'll borrow from the uncle, from the aunt, from the cousins, and there's no interest rate to pay back. So you're paying, interest free. So you pay back what you borrowed from that family member, or that family member or acquaintance buys into the business, and so it's things like that. While, you know, when it's like, like, I'll give you a simple example. If I live in a neighborhood, right? Yeah. And I've lived there for 20 years, and I know the person next to me and the person next to me, right?
Yeah.
And then a whole group of people come from, let's say, Syria. Like, let's say 30 neighbors come from Syria.
Yeah.
So those neighbors are going to, they know each other because either they've traveled or they're going to bond from the fact that they had to flee Syria.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's where they're going to come together. While me, I've been living at my place for 20 years. My neighbors have changed 10 times in those 20 years. I don't really know my neighbors anymore.
You don't know them like that.
Yeah.
Even.
So I can't, like, come and say, like, oh yeah, let's put money together and start a spaza shop, or we'll start a business.
Yeah.
You know, because that kind of sense of community, in the way the world is changing and everything happens so quickly, moving in and out in, like, upwardly mobile groups, you don't know the neighbors next to you.
So, and the thing is, how do you change that? What do you do for that lady who's a South African who is owns a spaza shop? Do you give them subsidies?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Then there needs to be,
so they can compete.
Yeah, then they need. Well, yeah, there needs to be certain programs developed by the state or developed by financial houses that allow these people. But also, I'd really be interested that these people who come from Somalia, from Sudan, from Chad, and what, like, they also have a certain higher level of education. They haven't had to go through Bantu education. They've had to go through the most.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, Somalia and all these places, Sudan, like, they were actually very functional places in the 60s. That's what the Uber driver also said. He understands, like, why South Africans get so frustrated is because they're still dealing with their past.
Yeah.
While some of us, like, I wasn't, like, you was, like, Somalia or, yeah, Somalia got its, like, independence in the 60s.
Yeah.
So, like, they've had the overhaul of their system. They've had some level of education.
Yeah.
And anyone who leaves their country to go somewhere else, even
is equipped
South Africans who leave SA and go to Dubai or whatever, to the UK, they have certain skills.
Yeah.
Right? So these people who leave, like, we just see, like, there's a very racist thing that we just see them as, like, useless people who are just coming in just to sit. But that's not true. It's the opposite.
It's the best of the, well, not the best of the, but it's the not the cream of the crop, but just underneath.
It's the ones who can. It's the ones who can and who have a skill to offer. And that's one of the most difficult things to fix. And the only way you can fix that is
it's also because they're just more educated and they know how to run the business.
Exactly. So there's no simple solution to it unless you completely ban people from coming in, which is not a solution at all. Because people will still come in, and then two, that's like,
yeah, dude. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I wanna, South Africans were sounding really, really, like really, really like Trump.
Yeah.
They were literally like, ANC government is doing nothing about our borders. These people just walk over the, like, and
dog,
they were,
and
like,
they've been,
they were like, these are the people that are
chatting in that chat, like, since before Trump was a thing, dog.
Yeah, dog. I mean xenophobia is not new to
I mean, it's like, the thing with SA is that, like, you know, every society reacts the same way to broad issues, more or less, with certain uniquenesses, right? Yeah. So in the US, they're like, oh, they'll vote Trump, right? In SA, they'll burn shit.
Yeah.
It's still a reaction to the same problem, right? Yeah. So it's just one of those things where...
And also, like, I was just thinking, okay, this thing was brought on by expired goods. So why are you looting it, fam? What are you gonna do with it?
Fiends, that's what I'm telling you. I don't actually, really buy.
But actually, they were even looting, like, the furniture and stuff, dog. Like,
no. That's why, like, look, man. Look, SA just becomes crazy in the lead up to elections, and then after the ANC does what it does, then things go back to normal for 3 years. And 4 years, and then, like, again on the fourth year.
Yeah, man. Like, the thing is, crazy. I think, like, so, like, people are dying as well. Like, I think one or two people have died as a result of this, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
so,
and some people are saying, like, it took really, really, really surprisingly long for the police to arrive.
Yeah,
it's just
it's tense, dog. It's tense because people are getting squeezed. Now fuel's gonna go up again next month.
Dog. I saw that and I was just like, for real, like really, dog. Do you know how much is going up, bud? Do you know how much is going up?
20 something cents. It's tough. It's gonna be so tough.
I feel like
I think governments eventually, I think if it goes up again in October, I think government actually might step in and just be like, no, we need to stop this. Because they've been talking about dealing with it. So I think if it goes up again in October,
yeah,
or if they think it's gonna go up, I think they'll probably step in and change some shit.
Yeah, it's
like
too
take
much.
A hit for a couple of months, and then like I think they'll switch up the road accident fund, all that, because like that's a lot of the cents are going there.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, those are the guys renting chairs for $6,000 a month.
Yeah.
Sorry, a chair for $6,000.
Let's not, a chair. Let's not even upset ourselves.
Yeah.
Even more. But yeah, man. Let's move on to these. To this. This flamey issues, bro. Oh, what is it? Flamey tops.
Flamey issues.
Didn't we say hot topics and they changed it to flamey tops?
Flamey top? No.
I don't like flamey tops. Is not bad.
Flamey
tops.
Alright.
Flame tops.
Flamey tops.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, alright, dog. Let's move on to what beats and life. Let's go again.
Beats and life and beats. We'll get it down.
Okay.
Right.
Across a gem, dog. I actually chatted to you about it, but it's this track right here. Let's listen to this.
You didn't chat to me about this track.
I posted it on the group.
Oh, that's not chatting to me.
Our life.
We know that's going to be your December track now.
Nah, it's too early for it to be my December track. December tracks come for me like October, November.
Daisy.
Yeah, October, yeah, after
Daisy.
But hold on. Okay. But that one, so this track is called Getsa 2.0 by Casper Nyovest. And I won't lie to you.
Now I remember. You're like, I won't lie to you. Enjoy 2015 Casper Nyovest.
Dog, this is the Casper Nyovest I enjoy. This reminded me of Solo Fellow, that his debut album.
Uh-huh.
And because I enjoy the fact that he has a lot of South African influence in his rapping.
Yeah,
you know, yes, these guys can have American accents and rap, but like if you infuse it,
well, Casper can try and have an American accent.
Yeah, he can try, but like he even chats in Zulu in this one, dog. I just feel like this is going back to basics for Casper.
Okay,
and I fucks with it immensely, dog. I can get with this guy's music again. Like, this will be fill up the dome, fill up the FNB stadium, Casper. Fill up Cape Town stadium.
50 grand.
Yeah. Fill up Athlone then, fine. Fill up Athlone.
Maybe,
you know? But still, like, I feel like this is the Casper I like.
Alright.
And all right. I hope that a good album comes from this. I really, really do. I don't want him to just feed us this stuff just so we can, you know, just to hold us. You know, like how sometimes Drake will give us like a fire freestyle so that he can do his love songs or something. So I don't want just for control, just to hold you guys. Hold on to that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, I was just really, yeah, that song really got me, man. But I've been listening to some really nice stuff. And another album, dog. We spoke about this last. Was it last time? Well, anyway, we talk about AKA's. We didn't talk too much about it. But AKA's album, dog.
Yeah.
It's growing on me. I'm not even gonna lie.
You were berating it a couple of episodes ago.
No, I wasn't berating it. I was just saying that as a body of work, it's. But I've never rated AKA like that except for his first album.
Okay.
But. For me, I saw him as just a hit guy, you know? Just hits. He can do hits and stuff. But I'm listening to Touch My Blood, and I'm like, all right. Like, there's some, like, and...
Like,
I passively listened to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I found myself listening to, like, album after album I mean, not album after album.
Track after track.
Track after track. Like, if I can just tell you, like, Touch My Blood is actually not that bad. Beyonce is lit.
Yeah.
Reset is lit for me, dog. McGreeze is not a bad track. Sweet Fire is I hate. Kaffir's song, I hate that shit.
Oh, I love Kaffir.
Nah, I fucking hate that song. Fela and Versace is lit. Liddy. No, it's Liddy. Dog, what do you mean? You hate... Dog, just listen to this.
No. No.
It just makes you wanna... It makes me wanna wear some Versace shirts.
Oh my god.
What do you mean?
Oh, this guy.
It really does make
you... You can't hate on Kaffir's though.
Nah, dog, I'm not hating on Kaffir's.
You are.
Actually, yeah, I am absolutely hating on Kaffir's, bro. Like, that shit is garbage. The video as well is
you
garbage.
You suck, dog.
Nah, dog.
That's a wedding song. Didn't they play that at the last wedding we were at?
Nah, they definitely didn't play that at the last wedding, dog.
They did.
Kaffir's song?
Yes!
At Marie's wedding.
Is this the song I'm thinking? Just play Kaffir's piece.
Nah, dog. I'm not gonna.
No, play it.
Alright. Let me play it. Hold on.
But you on the video?
Nah, dog. Listen. Kaffir's song. Alright, here we go.
There we go. They played it, dude, and we're doing the Bart Simpson on the dance floor. Is it good?
That was not me, Bumi. That was not me.
You forgot.
No, it wasn't me. Yeah, so I think we've established that it was not me. But yeah, I mean, I really don't like that song. But back to what I was saying, dog. even the track called Jigga with Young Achieve, like, it's a dope song. And obviously, The World Is Yours, we fuck with it. Star Signs, I fuck with that song. Boss, Stogie T, you know, also also known as AKA. You know, T from the V Papa. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm actually starting to enjoy this album, and there's more songs that I like on it than I don't, which wasn't my first impression, you know.
Well, I mean, it's always good when an album grows.
But you know why it wasn't my first impression? I think AKA adds to that as well, like the hype that he gives or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you know, wanting people to accept that he has a lit album. And I was just like, fam, you don't get to decide if your album is lit. Like, you give us artwork, right? And we all know art is subjective.
Yeah.
So, you can't get mad when a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just like with many things, like, some things can be considered to be, like, the best art ever. But someone else will be like, man, that's trash.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I see so, what like, you're saying.
I think that thing about him, you know, feeling like he's the bomb diggity times three. Yeah, I didn't enjoy that at all.
Well, look, that's always been his persona, though. That's what he's going to do.
And he's gotten away with that because he's given us hits after hit. But like, yeah, I'm glad that this is his last album. Just keep giving us fire.
What do you mean singles. It's his last album?
This is his last album, bro.
You know, they always say this shit until the money runs out.
Nah, but thing is, is there actually money in albums? There isn't. There's money. No, there isn't. The money is not.
It's a means to stream.
Dogs, no, you know how much streaming gives them. Fuck all. Especially these guys in South Africa, they don't stream that much.
But
it's just getting recognized, dog. So if you bring out a single,
thanks to Spotify, we can see how much they're being streamed.
Dog, look at this. What's her name? Young MA.
Shekinah.
Does she have an album? Young MA. Does she have an album?
No, I don't know. Even yes, if she does,
what is it called?
I forgot it.
Yeah,
I'm not that big of a fan.
My thing is that she doesn't even need to have an album, dog. She can just do shows off the strength of Ooh, or even other tracks that she's yeah. comes out. Because she's actually not bad, dog.
But you see, AKA has like 65,000 monthly listens in SA.
That's
and then Shekinah, who's the top,
What she got?
She was the top rated. How do you spell her name?
Yeah, that's how you spell it, though.
But that's not her, though.
Yeah, but sometimes Spotify does that, though.
Yeah, actually, that's... up.
Yeah, search is really, really bad.
Yeah, so as I was saying, wait, I'm just want to find...
Anyway, I don't know what your point is, but...
No, I'm trying to show you that, like, South Africans do get streams.
No, I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that streams don't give you nothing. It's just a means of people listening to your music and coming across it. Like, just being on this on Spotify platform just means that more people can have access to your stuff. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to listen to it. Do you know what I'm saying? And it doesn't translate into money. The only way things translate into money is if you go on tours and you do shows, dog. That's show money.
But actually, yeah, that's what AKA is doing now. He's doing like a proper... tour, and I saw he posted a status saying fuck the promoters, fuck all the bullshit, this is like a proper tour. I remember we were talking about it, how like, you know, SA artists don't do like proper tours unless it's sponsored by Castle Light or something.
And they go do clubs.
Yeah, and they go to clubs, and it's just
like if you're an like the only people who actually do like concerts and stuff were people like jazz artists and that stuff, because they had like mad catalogs. But like some of these guys actually have good catalogs now, you know. AKA he's got enough to fill an hour and a half show. Yeah. Actually, you know, it really doesn't take a lot. Like he's got 3 albums, I think. Just give us an hour and a half show, dog. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, there you see, Touch My Blood tour. But I want to see, yeah, we on only for the fans, not for no promoter, not for the venue, not for anybody but the fans. I'm not about to let y'all suffer the most because of people who don't know their fucking story. Yo, this guy's so extra. But yeah,
he's extra.
Tickets on Ticket Pro.
But I think that, like, I don't understand, man. I'm pretty sure, yeah, like, these artists that don't go on tours.
Mm.
Like, that's how you make money, man.
Yeah, that's
people, because the thing is, if you think about it, Vumi, we paying like what, $60 for a subscription, and we get access to all these songs. You telling me that translates to money? Fuck out of here. If you come and what it does is it gives us access to them. Now I'm sure they have a way of tracking where their most listens are. You know,
yeah.
So they can be like, oh, word, we have a big fan base in here, whatever. Then we go there for a show. Make a lot of money. Like, I don't see what's so hard about
Fela it. Actually, Fela and Versace is topping the charts in this. Yeah?
Because it's a lit song. In fact, I think it's lit in Africa.
Nah, this is a local...
No, that's fine. I'm saying I think it's lit in Africa.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a listen again, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's lit, dog. Hey, but nice same thing with Shane Eagle, dog. He saw the light. One album strong, he's going for a tour. Because that's what you must do. You must capitalize. Because
you're going to his damn tour.
I am indeed.
Yellow nigga going
tour. I am going to his tour.
Just yellow. Just
but
yellow.
The thing is, like, he's got the right thing, dog. Come out with an album, do a tour. Get the most out of your album. And this album, it's tough because it's a debut album and it's doing the best. Like, it's winning summer awards here.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta milk it as much as you can, blood. Look. Like, you really got it. Because your sophomore album is not gonna... Yeah, look, people are gonna be comparing it to that debut album.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, you'll report back on it. Tell us every detail.
Ah, absolutely. It? It's tomorrow, fiend.
Oh! That's why you're so excited.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Gonna be jumping. Yellow. Yeah, thanks, man. Where's Shane Eagle? Where's it? Don't worry about it. Nah, it's there in Pardon Island.
No, man,
it's there in... It's there in Pardon Island, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's going across the country, and by that I mean he's going to the big cities.
He's not going to go to Pretoria.
Definitely not going to Kimberley. Definitely not, dog. Definitely not. What are you going to go do there?
Durban, PE.
Durban, Johannesburg, Pretoria. I don't think he's gonna be, but I don't think so.
It's just
Cape Town, Durban, Joburg, and Pretoria.
Tswane.
Pretoria.
Tswane.
Okay. Tswane. But yeah, that's where it's gonna be happening at.
Okay.
But yeah, dog, just so, some more news. I know you haven't chatted anything about the music side because I got it all here. It's fine.
I'm trying to actually chat something about the music side.
I wanted to ask you. You're aware of Lauryn Hill's Miss Education, Lauryn Hill, right?
Of course, I am.
A classic album. It's a classic. So it's been in the news, right?
No, she's treacherous.
Okay, we all know that she's unreliable.
Yeah.
But this is not for that now.
Oh.
So this guy, Glasper, Robert Glasper, right?
Uh-huh.
You know him?
No.
Producer, big time producer. Anyway.
Wow. Anyway. Clearly not that big time because
I don't know, maybe I got his first name wrong, but Glasper, he does the Glasper experiment or Glasper project. Anyway, he was like having an interview or something with some people, you know, and he was talking about how he knows of some of his friends who worked with Lauryn Hill on that album,
mm-hmm.
the one that's like one of the greatest albums of all time,
uh-huh.
and they weren't credited in that album.
I read about this somewhere,
and apparently there have been like lawsuits that have happened before and stuff about it. So which and then people were like, nah, bruh. And then obviously people jumped to conclusions, were like, so Lauryn Hill doesn't write her own shit. And like, think about what that would do to someone, you know. So, like, for an album like that as well, imagine you heard Andre 3K didn't write any of his shit. Like, that would break you.
This is why I don't think it would break me.
Metaphorically,
look, from the moment Nasir Jones was revealed to have a ghostwriter, the world changed. And so for me, this whole ghostwriting nonsense, hip hop must change. People must stop looking at it. Just how hip hop must stop being gay and misogynistic.
Yes. Must stop being misogynistic and homophobic.
And homophobic, sorry.
Oh, you said it must stop being gay.
No, it's like it must stop being. I was going to say gay hating.
Because it's absolutely gay. Dude, hip hop's very gay, Dad.
So
no. Many gay things in hip hop.
So, right. So it's one of those things that I think hip hop needs to let go of this ghostwriting thing. Like, oh no, but it's not an MC. I'm like, dog, these people aren't MCs anymore. They're business people. They're traveling.
They're artists.
And write this shit. They're artists. Why will you respect Linkin Park, who will sit and write it together, like Mike Shinoda and whatever, but then you won't respect the OVO team who sat and wrote together? And
but I get why.
No, I'm saying that essence, whole MC thing has to change.
Mm.
Like, it's not 1999.
But the problem is when those artists, when they rapping and they're like, yeah, I'm the illest MC.
Yeah,
that's
no,
the thing. So
that's what I'm saying. It needs to switch up.
Yeah, they're not gonna do that. But like,
and people continue to lie to each other. They'll lie to us and they'll lie to each other.
That's the end of the story for me. That's what I think. That's why when someone comes at me like, oh, you're ghostwriting, I'm like, sit down.
Okay. But like, do you think things like that would impact the way you feel about an album?
No,
like with that, like, no. If you found out that everyone, like a lot of people, like, so the fact that, so in your mind, everything that Lauryn Hill said in that album, you thought it came from her, right? Or did you not care at all?
I didn't care who it came from.
But you didn't have a standpoint like, this is Lauryn Hill's, this is her rapping, so it's coming from her. I mean, there were personal stories in there, dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So obviously, her personal stories are hers, whether someone else tells them or not.
But that's what I'm. But what I'm trying to say is, you had an understanding that she was the one telling the story.
Yes.
And she was the one who penned the story.
Yes.
So it doesn't change you when you find out that in actual fact she didn't do that. But I'm not saying she didn't, but I'm saying it doesn't change your view on the work or on the artist, rather. Let me say this, on the artist.
No.
I think it does, man.
She performed it. She's more of a singer than she is an MC.
Like, I'd feel some type of way if I found out that Hov didn't say,
oh,
allow me to introduce. Eh?
Let's not even get started there.
No, but I'm serious though. Like, I'd feel a type of way. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hope. Like if it wasn't him, I'm like,
you actually just picked the worst line because that's not anything deep.
Nah, but it's a classic line. That's what I'm trying to say.
I understand where you're trying to go with this, but I just think hip hop's changed. So if you had asked 16-year-old me, I would have told you, yeah, straight up, fuck that shit. Ghostwriting is bullshit.
But you know what it is, though?
The moment Nasir, a legend in the game, was revealed to have a ghostwriter, then things changed. That's where you know this is a rap. And just now, we'll hear Kendrick as a ghostwriter. I'm telling you now, dog. The more...
And you tell me, if you hear that he does, you won't feel some type of way? Nah, I feel some type of way. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I'm attributing a lot of his work to him. Obviously, we all know that he can't produce... Like, all the other stuff, that he has help. No one can just do it on their own. But the crux of the issue, dog, the words there... It's like it means more when it says it came from you, dog. You know how many times people wanna be referenced in an article for me, wanna be referenced in an essay. You don't feel some type of way if someone took all your words and didn't give you credit for it. That's kind of what I do. Nah, man. Look, you signed a contract. But what I'm trying to say is, like, it means more. Like, if it's, I don't know, man.
I understand where you're going with this, but from the moment that these people transition from, like, if it comes out
in the jump, like people say, yeah, no. If you can see in the credits, yeah, there's like 10 people. You're like, okay, word. I don't have a problem. But it's the misrepresentation of Lauryn Hill.
It's what I'm saying. Look, if it was during the let's say So Far Gone, someone had said, yeah, but Drake had a ghostwriter. Like, at the time, So Far Gone was popping. I would say maybe it would have mattered. But now, I'm like, yeah, dog, has no time to sit down. Before that, he was a broke.
But we understand. But now we understand about Drake. We understand that he obviously he has help from people, and we don't care about that because we're not going to him to be like, yeah, we want to listen to an MC, someone chat his chat.
And I'm telling you that the MC, one of the MCs, Ether, dog, like the guy who made Ether, had a ghostwriter.
Yeah, you keep hopping on this like so much
because it should. Tell you, it should signify to you the state of affairs. If a legend is having a ghostwriter, then you need to realize that maybe now MCs need to switch up. Maybe things are changing. Maybe people are now in bigger friend groups and they sit down and write these things.
My problem is that I don't mind that. Just credit, like, because the term we're talking about, ghostwriter, it means someone who's not credited. Right. Yes.
Well, so that's the hip hop is very ambiguous about what a ghostwriter actually is, because they can be credited there. People will still say, "Oh yeah, but he wrote that for you."
No. I think it's a bit different. I think it's different.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm just saying that like hip hop needs to change. It doesn't faze me anymore. Ever since I discovered, now I'll say it again.
You need what needs to change? The fact that the whole ghostwriting thing, they just need to drop that.
No. I'm saying people's perceptions around what it means to be an MC need to evolve. Just like hip hop needs to stop being misogynistic and homophobic.
I just don't think they need. I mean, look, maybe they just shouldn't call themselves MCs anymore. Maybe it's that.
Oh, why are you so holding on to the fact that an MC must mean that you've an MC master of ceremonies, you need to be able to deal your shit. Whether someone wrote that shit or you, the delivery is also what matters.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But that's not how it came up, right?
Look. But things change.
Yeah, they do.
It's just like you'd never sing on a hip hop track, but now you do sing on a hip hop track.
But
people are fucking with it. Goldlink and all these guys are now becoming other kind of guys.
Black, all these guys.
So like, why are we now still fighting this whole ghostwriting thing?
No. But look, hip hop obviously has evolved. I mean, we all know that.
But
man,
there's certain aspects of it.
But
the
misogyny. I don't actually think like the homophobia is actually not that, because people will get you the fuck out of here now.
Name one popular hip hop rapper. Not R&B. Not Ocean. Not Frank Ocean. Name someone else who's a successful homosexual hip hop rapper.
Who's a homosexual?
Yes.
I'm waiting. What's his name? Tyler the Creator.
He's not gay. Yeah, the man is not gay.
Yeah, but he babs his men.
Ah,
What do you mean? Ugh,
that dog? Guy is probably just saying it to spice his life up.
Nah, he's not trolling. I think he is, dog.
Nah, I don't think
that's so. The problem when you think someone is just doing it just to spice.
But yeah, it's Tyler, the creator,
so,
dog.
So?
That
so
you what, can never take anything he says seriously.
Why not?
Because he's crazy.
Nah, dog.
Anyway, okay, maybe he is.
So now his sexuality
is crazy.
But he's
not openly gay. Is he openly gay?
Yeah, absolutely, dog. Says he talks about it in his tracks and everything.
Ah.
He talked about the time where he babs the boy one time when he was young. Like, and he kissed another boy. Like he just talks about that stuff chilled, dog.
I don't know how serious.
And people are just taking
it.
The thing is, you're taking it as if he's joking because you just... Like, what about all the other stuff, dog?
Because like, Frank Ocean, like, addressed it. He was like, I am a homosexual. Came out with it.
No, he didn't say it like that.
He didn't.
No, he actually wrote a letter to his boyfriend or someone there in summer.
But what I'm trying to that's the exact same thing as Tyler saying it in a song.
Okay,
though.
Anyway, okay, it's Tyler. So anyone else? But Tyler is leaving that popping anymore. Anyone
you
else?
Said I was naming one. Now, so how many people must I actually name?
But still, how many? Like, do you think if you told Pusha T to accept a homosexual rap, do you think Pusha T would fuck with it?
I think
the
he
game
would
fuck with it.
No, I don't think the game would.
Snoop would fuck with it.
Actually, the game absolutely did, dog, because he kept on telling people to get the fuck off Frank Ocean's back about being gay. He did it in a song.
Yeah, but Frank
in
Ocean...
In 0200 even, what do you mean?
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. But Frank Ocean is not an MC. He is an R&B singer.
Oh, we've been dealing with gay R&B
but it's
singers hip-hop. Forever.
Cisco, he's in the hip...
No. Everything. But now, okay, now you're moving away from rap.
Earlier we were talking
about hip-hop.
No, I told you
no,
hip-hop.
No, we're not talking about hip-hop.
I told you hip-hop.
So then, is Frank Ocean not in hip-hop?
No, that's why I said except Frank Ocean.
But why do you keep on cutting it out?
No, initially I said except Frank Ocean.
Fine.
And you gave me Tyler the Creator, which is ambiguous, but I'll give you that. Anyone else?
Yeah, Young M.A.
Oh, shit.
You better check yourself before you
That's
wreck yourself. Straight up, dog.
That's hectic. I just didn't see it as gay.
There's even someone else, I think. There's even someone else it's coming to me. Someone who is like in hip hop, just openly gay as well. It's another woman as well, I think.
Gifted Gab.
There's a
both of them. Not that, they're not
Gifted
that
Gab.
Yeah, but they're not that pop.
Okay, we mean these goalposts of yours. But Gifted Gab and Blimes Brixton.
Yeah, Blimes Brixton.
Both of them actually, I think, are homosexuals.
Yeah. Although, you know, we're basing this on their appearance.
Oh, it's absolutely clear. I'm pretty sure.
People are.
You're right. You're right. You never know. I mean, because you can say the same thing about what's his name, Young Thug. But you know.
Young Thug. Maybe actually,
but he might just be a.
Oh, and we forgot trans, Lil Wayne, bro.
Trans
Lil Wayne and Baby.
Nah, dog. They were just kissing, man. They were just in love. Just a long
My goodness. But yeah, no.
Anyway, so my thing is that, like, but like, yeah, you've mentioned a few, but like, obviously it's a few. I mean, because there's a history to being gay in hip hop and in society as well.
Yeah.
They don't there might be many more. They just don't come out or they haven't.
But also,
come out.
Young MA, she does then perpetuate the misogyny. Very misogynistic.
That's misogynistic of you.
No. She give me hair when I deep throat. Whatever she says. I don't know how she means deep throat, but yeah.
Obviously with a strap on.
Yeah. She is she's toxic masculinity within a feminine context.
Yeah, dude, it's very complicated. But like, I think would you say that having MA as a homosexual person is moving hip hop in the right direction?
I think so, but also
even if it's toxic masculinity,
but also there's always been ambiguous
female rap leads in within hip hop. Like, for example, Queen Latifah.
She's actually not ambiguous. She's straight out gay, dog.
Oh, she's straight up
gay. Yeah, absolutely. She just doesn't put it out there, so but it's very evident.
Yeah, like, so with female, MCs, it's always been a bit tricky. Like, I mean, I know, like, Eve, nah, not really, nah, but maybe.
It hasn't. Eve definitely dabbles in dick.
Yeah, but she might also, like, dabble both.
I don't think so.
She could.
She obviously could, but I don't think
so. Because they always, like, the very early...
I mean, someone else who at face value you might think is MC Light, but she's not. She's not, I don't...
So, the female one, it's always been a big... Because they've had to be...
Tough in
a guy's world,
but obviously that all changed with Lil Kim and Foxy Brown and Nicki Minaj. Cardi B, dog. I think it is what it is. But chat your chat. Do you want to add some sauce about?
Yes, I've been listening to some interesting music selections of late.
What you been listening
on,
to?
On Spotify. So I've been listening to this playlist called Lo-Fi Beats.
Lo-Fi Beats.
Yeah, Lo-Fi. F-I.
Oh, that's so smart to play on hi-fi.
So smart.
And actually, it's quite lit. Nice, relaxing, but like sort of almost like trip hop, but like you can nod your head.
Is it called? Is it like a playlist?
Yeah.
Lo-fi hip hop.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Lo-fi. No, put a hyphen in
between. Well, I mean.
A dash.
Should come up though.
No, we just said how Spotify search is fuck.
Okay, we did say that. Okay.
Lo-fi beats.
Alright.
There's a guy with like
headphones. Okay.
Yeah,
there we go. Alright, wait. Let me follow.
Very,
that.
Very cool and relaxing music. Like, this is a sample. Oh, wait, shit, no.
Awesome. 4 hours, 33 minutes. Alright.
Very chilled, like, and in the bass, like,
on some good speakers, I'm sure it'll sound force.
Yeah,
I picked
it up in the bass.
I hope it doesn't disappoint us with the bass on your phone, dog.
No, this phone doesn't have bass.
I'm like disappointed, but it's
still the phone.
But yeah, but still, I mean, like,
but you get the message.
What's that track called?
It's called Orange Glow.
Orange Glow
by David Cutter Music.
What? Aye.
Nah, aye. Very. It's cool to work to actually. It gets the juices flowing,
especially in your field.
Of work.
Yeah,
it's a lot of sitting, a lot of reading,
and researching, and things.
You typing.
You need to relax the mind, so to speak. Oof.
Yeah, but yeah.
Nah, yeah.
Yo.
But I think that was a good. What is it? Beats and life. Life and
life
beats.
Life and beats. Let's move on.
Yeah,
to...
let's move on.
Let's just move on.
We'll see what we move on to. Aye.
But now, can I speak my point, speaker? What is your point? My point is we can't be addressed by the father of Kutuzan.
Aye, so. I don't lie, we've actually been talking for a long time.
We've run ourselves into the ground.
But the thing is, we were actually intending on chatting about, obviously the political stuff right now and chatting about the state capture inquiry.
That's a lot.
But as politicians do, we reserve our comment to wait for the inquiry to conclude and a report to be written. When the report is written,
we will mobilize
and embark on assessing the recommendations placed
by
the inquiry, and only then we'll be able to give you a framework
to provide you with a conclusive summary
of the intent to which we might have a subsequent inquiry into the importance of such findings. Yeah.
And the way they repeat it at the end is like they're convincing themselves, like,
such findings.
Yeah.
There's your answer. I was like, at every Masters like whenever the question, bro. Whenever there's questions and answers. But you know what a skill it is actually to just, yeah, I want like pivoting and like chatting, like, and you see them gripping the mic sometimes, like trying to. And I think the key thing is, like, you know when someone says yes or no, because they want you to say yes or no, you say, the thing is, what's important. Sort of like how Theresa May.
When they asked her, yo,
that was whole, I was like, that guy was, what's that guy's name? Michael
Savage, Michael something.
I was like, that guy was just like, yeah, what did you do?
It's like, what did you do? Not the government. What did you do?
You come here, you dance with the South African children. He didn't say this, but anyway, you come here, you dance with the South African kids.
You call that dancing?
Hey, look, man, that's what she calls dancing.
Huh? She's like a robot, dog. I think she's a robot. There's no other way.
She's awkward.
Swivel, like,
I mean, like, she's awkward.
It's like you just had to put a squeaking sound there and put some oil.
Oh, like, she must have been so uncomfortable, bruh, so at that moment.
Just think she's just a bland human. Shame. These people have a tough life, bruh.
But they got no spice in their life.
They were probably just bullied at school and be like, I'm showing all these motherfuckers by running them one day. And then, like, when they reach there,
they
just.
But they,
like,
still have no spice in their food. Yeah, look. Bangers and mash that are just bland.
That's why they're chowing curry.
Hey, dog.
Yeah, so we'll
yeah, actually, let's say this. Next week we'll actually have a comprehensive report on the politics.
Yeah,
and but as of now, leader, comrade,
let's adjourn
and we will reconvene next week.
Next week and bring you the full
scope,
scope
with
analysis.
An agenda that shall be. Discussed in such meeting.
Thank you, comrade.
Until then, it would be remiss of us to make assertions of any degree. I thank you,
and it would be cantankerous.
I thank you.
Thank you, leader.
Sure, comrade.
Thank you, chair.
I don't lie, man. I remember one time when I was in undergrad, dog, because I was in the planning student society. Anyway, so like I was the of my year. I was the what do you call it? The captain or the leader of the class or whatever. Yeah. So like each year would obviously has one leader, and then we'd have these meetings. And it was like a political thing. I was like, oh my word, is this varsity right now? I was like, no way. Like, people refer to you, no, leader. You know, I was like, yes. Okay, I'm a leader here.
People go and live their biggest fantasies in varsity, dog.
I was like, we had a guy, shout out to Nape. He would answer all, so we'd have projects and presentations. Answer all questions. Any questions, obviously after a presentation, like, no, now we'll open the floor.
Yeah.
He would answer all questions like a politician. You'd never get the answer, but he'll answer you. And here's how he did it. He wouldn't answer you right away.
No.
He'd write the questions down, like the politician do. And then, just give me all the questions, and then I'll answer them as you listen to it. Cause you know how tactical that is, dog.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, no, okay.
Then you've got time.
And you like, and you address it the way you want. And you're like, no, I've addressed that in, you know, referred.
Cause
to.
You, cause also there's less time for the person to interject and be like, no, that's not what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
But let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here. I'm like, we've flapped our gums enough.
Yeah, this has been the longest episode.
Yeah, man. Let's get out of here. It has been your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this has been the Much Chats podcast. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Dank.